Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill and obviously the tremendous restaurant Black Rooster. Get in there for your spicy chicken and spicy chips.
You're talking about me, it's not a restaurant.
No, a restaurant,
it's a shack, mate.
It's nice food though,
It's lovely, it's great.
Lovely food, so get in there, you'll maybe bump into Simon, he can board you with his tails with Swindon Town for half an hour over the starter. We have recovered from last week. What a show last week, Sia.
Who was that? Oh, Slania here.
Aye, and it was the revolving story that kept going when we were live on air.
Oh, Brendan Rodgers, I fucked so sorry, mate. I've had a heavy weekend. I'm just happy to see you, but the big man again. I missed him. Big gorgeous.
We've got him back due to popular demand. We brought him back in. He's been away for a couple of weeks. We'll not tell you why. He can divulge it if he wants later on, but we'll certainly keep it between ourselves. Big Kevin Kyle, good to have you back, big man.
I know, glad to be back. Obviously, I've been listening into the couple of weeks that I have missed, and very, very good listening as usual. I can understand why there's thousands of people tuning in.
Yeah, right, mate.
Side days I look a wee bit worse for wear today. He's got a trachy on here. Don't know whether he mugged me or no, but a wee bottle I am brewing the same.
Big game, I like big man. Cowden beef away.
I saw that.
We're at the summit with 10 to go.
Good one. Good one on Saturday for you as well.
You want to come, mate?
No, I was thinking for the speedway.
Oh, by the way, Saturday it was like the dog and duck versus 1-0. The line. 1-0, but we were terrible, but. Grinding at results, exactly. Right. It's a business end.
Business end of the season. Yeah,
right. Victory, Liverpool could do with that kind of form.
Yeah, right, mate. And by the way, I need to ask Kev as well. Did he enjoy his night in Sunderland?
I did.
No, Sunderland. The place, Johnny Sunderland.
Oh, Johnny Sunderland. Honestly, I was sitting listening. Obviously, I went to Facebook last week and the wee clip you put up, and then I thought, who's he going to like? That's up there with like a pint of Sol Bamba. That's Johnny Sunderland. Is that not Johnny English? Is that where he's gone?
Who knows what he's
doing? I was like, he's probably just thought of me. He was thinking of me at the time. Uh-huh. I thought, I'll put Sunderland in there.
And even though Slaney is not on with us today, we're delighted. I know I've not got the cameras here, but if you can just try and visualise it, it's really good, a big Kev to squeeze into Slaney's red velvet jacket. It's really, it's looking a picture. Maybe we'll try and post a picture of that later on. Right, let's get to it. We've got a cracking 45 minutes ahead for you. We're right in about it. Aberdeen Rangers, Hibernian Celtic, Dundee United Inverness, Partick Thistle v Hearts. We're going to touch on the William Hill Scottish Cup quarterfinals. We're going to look at the unfortunate incidents that seem to be growing in the Scottish game. The boys will address their views on the coins and the bottles, the thuggery and the hooliganism even that's going on around our stadium just now. They've got some strong views on that. We'll look at the Balotelli goal celebration at the weekend when he scored for Marseille against St Etienne. Kevin Kyle's got an interesting take on that and some good stories about some of his celebrations. And then we'll get to the EPL, Liverpool, Man City, top of the table, what's going on down there. Have Liverpool in danger of throwing away the cushion that they had just 2 or 3 weeks ago. Right, let's get to it. Scottish Cup quarterfinals, Aberdeen v Rangers, 1-1, Si. What did you make of the 90 minutes?
I think Aberdeen will be disappointed that they never won the game. Rangers have been flying recently. I thought Aberdeen were the better team, to be honest. I think they had the better chances. I think the two best chances of the game fought at the wrong guy. Big Considine. How he misses the header for 8 yards, I'll never know. And then one forced him no long after it for a corner again. Rangers again look dangerous on the counter-attack, but never dominated as they have been in recent weeks. But Rangers will fancy themselves back at Ibrox, and I think back at Ibrox, Rangers will beat Aberdeen because they're good at home.
You think that, you agree with Simon there, Kev, in terms of Rangers, they'll be a lot happier with a draw.
I think before the game, if Steven Gerrard was told it's going to be a draw, I think they'd have took that. Mm-hmm. Because Aberdeen's not the easiest place to go for any team. And obviously there's a bit of history between Rangers and Aberdeen, but it's a good result for Rangers to bring back. They're still in the cup, they've got the draw, and obviously the draw's come out as a big incentive to win the game. But again, Aberdeen will be disappointed and maybe they'll think their chance has been missed, but there's still 90 minutes to be played, and if Rangers can turn up and play the way they have done previous to the Aberdeen game, then I think they might be a wee bit too much for Aberdeen.
Right, well, can I just give you a wee mention of the referee? I thought you had a good game.
Kevin Clancy.
Referees get slaughtered a lot. I thought he got all the big decisions right. The two dives for me were bookings, and it was a penalty as well, so I thought he'd done well.
What about the...
Is there something that you never... I only watched the one.
Who was the boy that threw Arfield? Was it Arfield to the ground? No.
Oh, was it Shinney? Smashed him?
Yeah, Shinney smashed him, but then there was a follow-up when the Aberdeen players. Was it McElhinney?
Oh, McLennan, and he'd already been booked for diving, hadn't he?
I'm not sure, but there was something that was brought up, perhaps, that the referee was maybe a wee bit lenient there. But I agree, most of the time, he was spot on, and you're right, because we're always quick to highlight referees when they don't get it right. As you mentioned, he booked Morelos for diving, tangling with Considine, right decision?
Definitely. I think there was contact there, but it's not enough to follow the way he did. It's funny because I was speaking to wee Scotty Arfield last week, and he loves Morelos, but he says he's a proper screwball. And I just see every time something happens with Morelos, wee Scotty's up to him straight away to calm him down.
Calm him down. I noticed that, which is good. It's good professionalism for Scotty, isn't it?
I think that's what the players now need to take it on board. I think the manager can only do so much standing for the side, but I just made us laugh because we'd been speaking about it. But Scotty right up to him and calming him down. But I like Morelos. I think he's a right good player.
Yeah.
Again, lively. But I thought McKenna and Constantine at the back. Devlin, was it?
No, it was McKenna and Constantine.
I thought they had their best game against him. Got quite a lot of blocks in against him and never really had many. Clear chances, so I thought they two done well. We were talking about it on the bus. I think Rangers will try and sign McKenna in the summer. I read Stephen Gerrard, I think they will. And Shinnie, I think they'll try and get both of them.
Minimum, well, Shinnie's available on a free. McKenna is minimum £6 million.
Well, even with a year ago, you think he'll still
£6 million
need to pay.
Quid for him?
They've not backed £6 million for three or four clubs. I think Celtic were going to go as high as five and told not to bother wasting their time. And then Stoke and Aston Villa.
A good big player. Like for me, when it comes to Scottish football, he's exactly what you need in the second half. Like I went and watched Sunderland on Saturday, and they could do worse than sign somebody like McKenna, but obviously he's better than that, of the standard. But big centre half, hard, physical.
Decent turn of pace as well, isn't he?
Yeah, you can keep up with him. Because see that Morelos, I don't know what it is with him, but he must be in the gym every day, because he's one of the weirdest, strongest centre forwards I've ever seen. Nobody pushes him off the ball.
Jen, you could push him off it?
No, I couldn't.
No,
no chance. You can see he's got this low centre of gravity.
A fat arse,
core. He must be, I don't know, man, he must just be working on the upper top. He's just so strong.
See, on that game, because a lot of the focus is on the negative side of his game in terms of
I think that's why he gets into trouble so much.
Which is fine, that's part of his game, and we can't ignore that. But I'd be interested to hear your take on it then. His qualities as a striker, because at the moment, he is the main striker in the Scottish game.
He's not a target man, and he's not going to run beyond you for pace. But what he needs to, I think, watching him is, he needs to learn to get him just in that, like, 12-yard area, get up against defenders and start learning how to roll them, because he's got that strength. If he can get a defender, if he was tight with McKenna and got a good boy into his feet, if he could learn how to get turned and like
create
a Jermaine Defoe, create himself half a yard
just
to hit it, because he can hit the ball as well, left foot and right foot, but it's his upper body strength. And I reckon if you were to delve into his previous games and look at how strong he really, really is, people don't notice that about him. Like, I think on Saturday, one of the Aberdeen game, the ball came up and he backed in, and he'd no right to win the ball, but he brought it down, and I think the centre half actually tugged him back, and the referee missed that. That was one of the wins that he
did. It was Considine the second half.
Right in the corner of the box.
Yeah.
And I thought, how's he been able to? And Considine's no weak player. He's a big boy as well. So for me, I think if Morelos was to work on, instead of staying out wide of the 18-yard box, staying within that parameters and get the ball into his feet and learn how to do that wee turn, get that wee half a yard and hit, or even lay off to somebody. He's not going to be the big target man.
Is that something that, if I think back, is that something that you said that the likes of Niall Quinn would have taught you and coached you?
Because he would get on the shoulder. So I would play on the shoulder of a centre-half, whereas Morelos, to me, if he can play like, on the shoulder, but just get in front of the defender. And once he's in front, there's no way the defender's going to push him off the ball. The defender's going to push him off the ball, he's going to have to give a free
kick.
Does
he need to be coached that, though?
That's a coach, because that's not something naturally that he's doing now. So he's got to, somebody's got to identify that to him.
But there's nobody there.
I think we've spoken about this before, and it's maybe a topic we can go into.
Jermaine Defoe can teach him that.
Because Jermaine's a designated striker coach.
Jermaine Defoe, that's what he did. He used to say Jermaine Defoe was most dangerous with his back to goal, because he was able to nick that yard, turn clang, and it was gone. That's what Morelos can do. I know that he can do that. He just needs to be shown how to do it. And eventually the more, because he's only young, he's only what, 21, 22?
21.
It's ridiculous. Like, he's got so much potential. It's frightening. And he will eventually, I'm sure he listens to what he's being told, but he's just got to work out what can I do better. And I think that's something that he could do better, because sometimes he's out in the wings doing no man's running and he's no effective.
What, in your opinion, because we hear some saying he's a 10 million striker, he's a 15 million striker, he's nudging towards a 20 million striker. Come this summer, what kind of value do you think he's got on?
It's like a house. You're only as valued as what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And
well, if you to recommend a chief executive, what, to say that would be your ceiling if you can get him for that, take him all day.
Oh, if you could get in Morelos between 5 and 10 million quid, you would take him. Because I think you see some of the players that go for 20, 30, 40 million quid, mm-hmm. and you never hear of them again. They've got their move, they've got their cash, and that's it. Whereas Morelos is 22 years old with his whole career ahead of him. And in striker terms, you get better as you get older. There's no many strikers peak at 15 and you know, I just think that Morelos, there's huge potential.
What if you get him for 14 or 15? Would you take him for that?
I wouldn't take him for that.
No.
I think if you get him for 8 or 9 million quid.
Yeah, I don't.
And then work towards a package that helps the club in the future, then aye, but 8-9 million quid.
What was Dembele to 20?
Dembele was between 19 and 20.
And he's ripping it up in France.
Aye.
Yeah, he scored a couple of games.
I don't think a goal scorer, I don't think it really matters the level they're playing at.
He was another one, like Dembele, very, very strong for not being the biggest guy in the world. So yeah. He learned how to adapt his game, and he started doing for Celtic what Morelos should be doing. Well, Morelos is doing it for Rangers every week, but it's the consistency with Morelos.
Yeah, 28 goals.
Derby played 9 million for Wagner, though. You're going to pay 9 million for Wagner. You're
paying
9 million.
Did they really pay
9
million?
9 million.
No, they didn't.
They did for Ipswich.
8 or 9.
Oh,
eh?
My God,
8
man.
Nine.
I want his agent.
How much would you have been worth?
Oh, I must be 40.
Stone or what?
Well, maybe closer to that.
By the way, can I ask the big man a question? Because I love the McKenna and Morelos battle. I think they're like the relish playing against each other, didn't it? But you didn't really see that in football anymore. Was there anyone that you always looked for or hated but looked forward to playing?
Big Chris Morgan that played with Sheffield United.
He was a screwball,
but I was a screwball because I knew that I was cleverer in my head. I thought psychologically I'm getting the better of him today. And I used to just kind of wind him up in that, and like if he cleared the ball, I'd give him a wee nudge off the ball at the end, and he'd be like, "Oh, big man, what are you doing?" And I knew that I was getting inside him. And then when you got that opportunity,
it wasn't that close to friendship, was it?
Yeah,
wasn't that close?
It was a wee bit. It's like me and you, man. And it was like you just wait for that one moment, and you would lay one really on him, and then he would think, "Oh shit, I'm in for it today." And I used to get inside his head, and he used to try even harder to push me off the ball or tackle me, but I was inside his head. It just didn't matter what happened. He could not figure it out. Uh-huh. And I used to love battling him. At the end of the game, we'd shake hands and say that was a good tussle day, but he was tough. But
he was a tough guy. Uh-huh.
Sometimes guys are tougher than you, and it's just who can get inside whose head first.
Psychologically.
Uh-huh. Like, I used to think Maggi Bagheera, like, honestly, like, he's probably one of the worst I've played against. And I used to think, I'll get him a day. I will. But he always got the better on me, no matter what he did.
But sorry, in terms of talent, he was one of the worst that you played
no,
against?
No, no talent. In terms of just in the heat and try to wind him up. You know, I remember...
You couldn't get to him?
Couldn't get to him. Because I used to think, right, corners, I'll give him a wee nip, or I'll pull his ear, or I'll pull his hair at the corners, And then one day we're playing at Ibrox, and I think I nipped him one too many, like I pulled his wee earlobe. He turned around, right? Turned around and got his big thumb and stuck it straight in my eye. Right? And at that time I just thought, Jim Jeffries, put number 9 up the subboard and bring me off, because I've had enough of this. I couldn't deal another 20 minutes with him, because I'd wind him up to the point that he was going to kill me. And I thought, no, and he was big, he was strong, he was angry. And I thought, I've just went too far.
You play his big Bobo now?
No, I never have had that. Mastorovic was probably the biggest Celtic defender I played against. Right. And we hit one time at Hearts, 50-50. He was running for the west wing, I was running for the left wing. And the two collided, I swear to God, man. See, when a car crash, people would have died. And he stayed on his feet, and I just about stayed on my feet. And I thought, oh my God, man, it's got to take me another 10 minutes to catch my wind here. But that was like, I felt as though my whole organs inside had just decapitated. It was like, I felt as though somebody like took 10 years off my life. Uh-huh. But I stood firm. Uh-huh. I pretended I was hard.
Did you enjoy the battle?
I did. Like, I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed coming off thinking, my God, man, what a game that was today. But it was worth it, you know, it was...
See, I couldn't think anything worse. See, when I played, I just wanted you let me play and I let you play. I didn't want to get in a fucking battle.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't play. I just like to get involved with a bit of tussle.
on others, strikers, no Cosgrove for Aberdeen in the replay, Kev, a week tonight. A bit of a blow for them.
Ah, that's a blow, because he's a big physical presence. He's been scoring a right few goals, and the boy Worrell and who was the other Colson, they don't fancy him. He's too physical for them to, and he's got a wee bit about him. He's a wee bit mobile as well, so that's a big loss for Aberdeen.
What would you do then? There's options if you're talking about the physicality. If they maybe don't like it, are you tempted to get the arm around the shoulder of Stevie May and put him in the number 9 role that night? Or just
Stevie May's not really hit the ground running since he came back to Aberdeen. So
James Wilson,
you don't really know. James Wilson's got pace, so do you play a different game? But
he does not like to be asked to, James Wilson, does he?
It's one of them. You've come from a big club, and you think you're going to turn up and obviously just rip it up, and it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that admit it's a mentality thing.
See, for me, Greg Stewart, I'm a big fan of Dell, but it kills me to see Greg Stewart playing on the right wing. Rangers' goal comes for Greg at the corner. You didn't want Greg Stewart in that area of the pitch. You want him up as far up the pitch as possible. I really do not understand why he gets played on the right wing at Aberdeen. Put him through the middle. I think Kelly played him up at Ibrox on his own and through the middle, and he was brilliant. For me,
just gave him a free reign.
Because see, when he drops into the baby hole, you know yourself, centre half didn't want to go in there.
10 for Kelly a lot.
His left foot allows him that if he does get a yard, he could pop something off him anyway. Do you know what I mean? And he's got a very, very clever footballing brain, so maybe worth putting him up top and just letting him run about. Right, you've got that up top, you just do what you want.
And if you lose up there, that's fine, because you've got 10 men behind the ball.
Because he does sometimes look like he's breathing at his backside.
He will be, mate.
No disrespect to you, Greg, but you do look like you could do with another 10 minutes of pre-season.
That'll not get back. Right, we'll move on. Hibs v Celtic. It was a cracking game at Pittodrie on Sunday, 24 hours earlier. Hibs v Celtic at Easter Road. I don't know about you boys, but I couldn't believe how comfortable it was for Celtic and the tactics deployed by Paul Heckingbottom, the Hibs manager.
He'll not last as a Hibs manager if that's the way he's going to play. Because you know the fans that demand attacking football, and like yourself. Celtic have not beaten them for 2 years at Easter Road. Why not go and have a go? It's a cup game. You're not battling to stay in the league or to get top six, you need a point. Go and try and win the game. I could not believe it,
That would show to me... Hecky, I'm saying Hecky because I know Hecky. When I was at Sunderland Youth, he was at Sunderland Youth as well.
Was he any good?
He was all right. He was not bad. Good. Oh,
Steady Eddie. Full back.
Nice guy. Really, really nice guy. That to me would show a lack of knowledge of Hibs' previous performances against Celtic at Easter Road, because he's negative. And every time Hibs play Celtic, they're actually quite attacking, and Celtic's like, oh God. And for me, that would just be a wee bit of inexperience there, and I think that would be a one-off.
The thing I would counter that, Kev, saying that he has kept on a number of the backroom staff that Neil Lennon had there.
But ultimately, it's
a manager's
decision, isn't it?
Decision, but you'd think that he'd have been... Because Neil Lennon, actually, when he was in between the jobs, when he'd left Hibs, and then before he'd taken over at Celtic again, he gave an interview at a William Hill presser speaking about how to get to Celtic, what he did, and he says... Get to up top as much as you can. Don't allow them to come out
to
with the ball.
Exactly.
Just absolutely get in their faces. High tempo as much as you can. He says, isn't it what? But then it looks like Heckingbottom was the exact opposite. He was just inviting Celtic onto them wave after wave.
See if you get good players' time on the ball. They'll hurt you eventually. It might stay 0-0 for a while, but one time they'll pick a pass or somebody will beat somebody and stick in the ball in the top corner like James Forrest did. But if you're going to have a go, you give yourself a chance. See if you get knocked out of the cup, you can come out and went, we had a go and we got beat. But see you get put out of the cup. Sitting in at home.
The best example of Celtic being pressed this year was when Rangers beat them.
Ibrox,
totally in their faces. The Celtic were having to play long balls, dangles into corners, and they were trying to play at the midfield of Scott Brown, and they were talking to Scott Brown. He was giving it away. That's how you play against these good teams. If you press them high, make them make decisions they don't want to do. Because in their head, their mentality is, we need to pass out. And all of a sudden you start shelling balls. It's like, oh, I'm not really doing what I'm doing. And players start second guessing themselves.
What about Scott Brown? Fantastic goal. We did it with the shoulder. We'll speak about James Forrest's goal as well. But he'd the cigars out. Scott Brown, do you see... him, do you see Neil Lennon potentially adopting a slightly more different role for Scott, or just be as he was?
I think it'll just be as it was, because if it's not broke, you don't fix it. Scott Brown's, people hear this myth that Scott Brown can only do one thing. There's more to Scott Brown than that, just getting the ball and keeping the ball. There's more to Scott Brown's game, and the minute Scott Brown is deemed to be under a bit of pressure in the media, he turns up and produces the goods. Like, he had a bad performance against Valencia in the Europa Cup, whatever it was. and they're saying, oh, Scott Brown this, Scott Brown that. He was obviously, next week, he scored three in the bounds. Is it three in the bounds?
Three in a row, huh?
So that just tells you everything you need to know about Scott Brown. Scott Brown just plays what he thinks is right for him and doesn't worry about everybody else. And for me, he's the focal point of what Celtic do.
You know, if Slaney was on here today, we were talking about transfer values of Morelos 10 minutes ago. He'd have wee Jamesy Forrest up at 50 million or something like that now, wouldn't he? Realistically, though, he's producing something special in his goal. Although I would say Marciano should save it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so. You were hearing an argument in the bus, didn't
you? However, top drawer from Forrest again. And lovely to see just the way he moves into that number 10 role too.
See, just quickly on Brown, this is probably why I'll never be a manager, but for me, I don't think he should be the deeper one. I don't think he's as comfortable on the ball playing the deeper one. I think your best player on the ball should play there to start attacks. McGregor, for me, should play there. Brown should play in the two that are ahead of him. Right. He's good at ratting and he's good at getting in the box and scoring goals. But on to Forrest.
I like that.
Thanks very much.
I like that.
Not just a pretty face, mate. Forrest, Lenny will be great for Forrest, because what I like what Lennon does with Forrest is, see, if he's having a quiet game on the wing, you'll put him into the wee number 10 role. Whereas I think Rodgers just kept him out on the right wing. I think he's a better player than that. It's similar to when McGeady was here. It used to do me in that Strachan would only play him as a left winger. Because seeing at 10, that was McGeady's position. It's where he should have played for Celtic. And I think Forrest has got that ability to go and play in there as well. And you know yourself, as a defender, if Forrest's running at your left back and he's not getting any joy, you're happy, because you know you've got him on toes. But see, if he goes into number 10, then you've got a different problem. Who then picks him up? So I like the way Lenny's working him, playing him on the wing and playing him at number 10.
James Forrest, the worry now for Celtic fans will be, will Brendan Rodgers come back?
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
I jumped too fast.
You jumped too fast. We're going to get to that.
Got
you're
fine.
You're in too early. I've heard that about you once or twice before.
Slaney just texts me
a number.
Where's he going?
Right, on Neil Lennon, realistically, what does he need to do to get the job permanently? For there just to be no discussions, May 26, he's up seeing Peter Lawwell and Dermot Desmond, and there's your contract.
Win the treble.
Simple as that, sir.
I think if he doesn't, he'll not get it.
Right.
If he wins the treble, he'll get the job, I think. But
I think if he wins the treble,
I think you'd have
there's
to
no option. But you're right, if he doesn't win it, then there's debate, isn't there?
Neil Lennon is the perfect fit for Celtic. It just seems like it was meant to be. He got booted for Hibs for whatever reasons that happened. Brendan decides to go down the road. There's an opening. Neil's in. He'll hopefully win the Scottish Cup, win the league. Looks like the league's nearly there. And how do you say no to that? He knows the club. He knows the history of the club. He knows everything about the club. He knows how it runs. And I just think it'd be perfect. You know what I mean? Who else are they talking about?
They're talking about the boy for Salzburg. His odds got slashed yesterday. The manager that came here and had the Celtic hat on that. And what was his name? Mike? Is it Rose? Rose, talking about him, I think he's a top manager.
It's a difficult one now, I think, for Celtic, because Rodgers has clearly left because he hit the ceiling with Celtic in terms of, we've won the double treble and possibly a treble, but we don't do anything in Europe. So what's going to happen now with Celtic? What is the next remit? What is it? You're getting the job, but this is all we can do in Europe.
I think the remit's quite simple. It's a 2-year deal. And if Celtic win 8 and they're going for 9 and they win 9 and they get 10, whatever, and I know there'll be Celtic fans say, oh, 10's a formality, Rangers fans will say no, it's no, and rightly so. But for me, the next manager's job, if Celtic win the league this year and they do 8 in a row, it's a very simple 2-year contract, because I'm telling you, the next 2 years and the next year in Glasgow, if they do it, is going to be wild on and off the park. If Celtic are chasing 9 and Rangers are trying to stop it, and if it rolls on, and it will absolutely mentally and physically exhaust the next manager of both clubs.
Yeah, definitely.
But on that, is there not a duty for Celtic, for the hierarchy, to, even if Neil Lennon does win the treble, but to actually sit down and explore three or four options, to actually sit face to face with three or four leading candidates? And as much as it might be harsh on Neil, and it would be, I'd agree, if he wins the treble, he's got to get the job. But I think that at such a critical time in the club's history, you've got to sit down with candidates and go through it.
Oh, sure, like any big business in the world would do that, wouldn't it? Obviously, if he gets the treble, it would be brilliant, but you've got to see who wants the job first. If there's a better candidate for the job, treble or not, if there's somebody out there that's better for the job, then you give him the job.
Does another candidate come in and do what Brendan Rodgers did? They come up, they win a few trophies, and then they want to leave again.
But it's a 2-year.
It's unbelievable. It's like,
it's a 2-year deal.
It's a difficult one, because Celtic have got a shelf life in Europe. And they're only going to be last, the holy grail would be to get to last 16 and maybe potentially get to a quarter final of the Champions League. But That's miles off.
It's not realistic.
See, the thing is, Brendan Rodgers was in the back tonight. Did Gordon Strachan or Ronnie Dyla get £9 million to spend on a striker?
But £9 million doesn't get you nowadays a Champions League goal scorer, does it?
I know, but I never got them. I mean, they were still qualifying for the last 16.
Aye, no, but they had good. I would say they had a better squad.
Yeah, back then, right? Okay. I'm not too sure about that.
Well,
there you go then. Paul Hartley and Barry Robson in the middle of the pitch better than Brown and Cham, Callum McGregor.
Get a bit close, aye.
Right.
But I think, Si, on that, the money on offer now has totally changed. Even from 8-9 years ago, you look at the difference now in Ripon
County.
You think about it, 20 years ago, Celtic went and got the manager of Leicester to come up here and took Leicester's best players.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you how the landscape's changed and
it's
going back.
It's finances.
To that.
It's damaging football.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the players and the clubs and everyone that comes with the money. It's just, like I'm down there at Sunderland Saturday watching a League One game and I'm being told that the average Sunderland player's on £8 grand a week.
Oh, mate.
At Sunderland. Yeah. In the first division. And that's just ridiculous because... Mm-hmm. I was in that kind of money in my prime and I was miles better than anyone doing there.
Well, we're not even now you were excited. So on this, can we move on? You've worked under Neil Lennon, he was your manager. All things being equal, is he the right man for the job? Would you be happy to see him get the job permanently?
Oh, definitely. He knows the place, he knows the standards that are expected. One thing I liked about him that he said is, for me, the Rodgers was great the way he played football, but for at times, that thing passing it back to the goalie and the two centre-halves passing it together for 5 and 10 minutes at a time, he'll not have that. Mm-hmm. The ball, it'll be attacking football. Get the ball at your attacking players and attack. And I think that's what you should come and watch.
One thing I like about him as well, just looking at him off the park from a media point of view, I think he's handled himself superbly well. And what he said, I think he's got the tone right of everything that he's done. He's only been there a week, but I think off the park, I think he's been absolutely... first class in the way he's handled everything. Right, moving on, we'll get to it now. Okay, Brendan Rodgers, the reaction of the Celtic supporters, the unsavoury video that's in the hands of the police by a supporter, the banners are up calling the guy a fraud. For me, absolutely way over the top, out of order. What do you guys think?
Why did you need to write that banner, Kev?
Somebody asked me something.
No, even spelt fraud right.
It would have been spelt wrong if you'd done it.
F-R-O-D, right.
Yeah, man, I got a 3 in English. over the top, I can see why they've done it. You would need to sit down with Brendan Rodgers as his wife or his kid and ask, Dad, why did you leave now? Because you've not got to tell anybody else. And 12 weeks left, chance of winning a treble. Mm-hmm. I find it strange because Leicester aren't going to finish any higher than where they are, and they're certainly not going to get relegated, and I'm pretty sure they could have come to some sort of agreement somewhere that, right, the job's there for you in the summer, but maybe he wants to get down there, start building, ready for next summer.
But would you give that up clear, for that?
But if you believe what he said, if you read these interviews with the Scottish press, I went down to see him on Friday and Saturday morning, he said, delaying it to the end of the season was not an option for Leicester. I asked the question.
Do you believe it, Matt?
Well, he said that Peter Lawwell can verify it. He says Peter Lawwell, if you ask Peter will verify that Leicester came in, met the compensation fee, which is whatever it is, 5, 6, 7 million quid. He said, and I asked the question, can we delay it to the end of the season? And Leicester unequivocally said, no, it's now or never. Now, that's what he said. He's on the record.
See, there is talk that people saying, well, go to why Leicester? There'd have been a better job for him in the summer. But I said, I think, in one of the big, first in a lot of podcasts, when Brendan Rodgers came to Celtic, his stock wasn't very as high as it was when he was managing Liverpool. Mm-hmm. So he had to come to a club like Celtic, which is massive, but he's built himself back up again. Yeah. So his next move would be to a Leicester, an Everton, a Watford or some of that, and if he could build them up, then he'll get the big move. So it's all right saying there'll be a better club than Leicester, but he wouldn't get the Chelsea job He needs to go to Leicester. He knows that.
Go again.
If he goes to Leicester and puts Leicester into European places or gets him playing well, that people are talking about how Leicester's playing the football and the players they're bringing through, then maybe next season or beyond the Tottenham, the Chelsea, that type of job might be opening Brendan Rodgers.
You also see as well, Si, when you look at his stuff down the road and his pre-match for the Watford game the weekend, the post-match with Jeff Streeves and all that, he'll now believe that now that he's in that company again, that he'll okay, you need to do your talking on the park, but off the park, he's a politician as well, and he'll feel that he's in that mix, and he'll charm his way into a
I think that's what's annoyed Celtic fans so much, is, see, for me as a player, I don't know if you were the same, see boys that kissed the jersey after they scored and they played up to the fans, they're the ones that would leave the quickest, the club. We could, as soon as another offer came in, they'd be away.
Did the Kelly fans ever forgive you, Kev?
Are you a badge kisser?
No, not Kelly, no. Well, kissed the badge a few times at Sunderland. Hearts, I didn't kiss the badge at Hearts. Definitely Sunderland. Come
on. Did you kiss that Portsmouth badge, Si?
Oh, damn.
Portsmouth.
No.
Dundee.
I couldn't bring myself off. No. Swindon, I love the Swindon, but that's the Brendan Rodgers giving. See, saying all that, I'm a Celtic fan, this is my dream job, and then you take the letter, of course you're going to get stick.
Yeah. He's entitled to stick, but I just think over it was top, over the top. But
I don't understand why he comes out and says all that about a dream. Just do your talking on the pitch.
Yeah.
That's how you get fans to like you.
No, I totally get that.
Especially in the back of your mind, if you know eventually you are going to want to get back down to England, then didn't I say all that?
But on for his point of view, if you'd won 7 trophies in a row, and if you cast your mind back to what he inherited, the state of the club that he inherited, you know, 30,000 empty seats every week at Celtic Park and what he built up, would you feel hurt at being called a fraud and you know, the way they turned on him?
Listen, see, on the pitch, he's probably been the best manager Celtic have had since Jockstein, I would say. I mean, the brand of football. Mm. At times, some of the football that he played with guys who couldn't have kicked their own arse a year before was exceptional. There's no doubt about it, he's a good coach, a top coach. And I think in the end, he will do well at Leicester. I think they've got a good young players, and that's what he's perfect at, is working with good young players. Now, how he deals with Vardy and Morgan and stuff like that, I don't know.
I know he put Morgan right back into the team.
Brendan Rodgers has got Brendan Rodgers' ideas of how his career wants to go.
Aye.
His career was to come up here and do as best he could for Celtic, which he's done.
Uh-huh.
So ultimately, he was a game away from winning the Premiership with Liverpool.
Yeah.
So he's got aspirations to get that close again. So you kind of knock a guy for having a bit of, I say the word ambition. There's loads of ambition at Celtic, but there's a shelf at Celtic. Yeah. Whereas at Leicester, there's a wee bit
chance
more than
to
that.
Grow.
There's a chance to win the Premiership. There's a chance to get into Europe and maybe spend the money to get to the last. Because Leicester did well in Europe the year they won
the Champions League.
There's also a small matter. As much as he was on a fantastic salary at Celtic, the guts are $50,000 a week, with all respect for beating Dundee and Partick Thistle and Motherwell. He's gone for the reason $140,000 a week to Leicester, $7 million a year. But also, and this isn't a criticism of Celtic or Scottish football, but as you said there, Kevin, he's gone down to a stage where if you look at Leicester's transfer record, we're all going, oh, Scottish football, $9 million for Edward, record fee, praise to Celtic for that. They spent $12 million quid in a reserve goalie, Ward for Liverpool, last summer. And so it shows you what he's going to. So you can't, as you say, it's his career. You can't blame him for that.
It's just a manager who wants to try and do the absolute best for himself, get his career. People to look back and say that Brendan Rodgers was some manager, do you know what I mean? And fair play for him for doing it, you know what I mean? He came here, it's not as if he come here and didn't do it for Celtic. Mm. He did everything for Celtic. Mm-hmm. He just didn't stay the time that the Celtic fans thought he would.
Right, on that, you mentioned it. He's been linked with Kieran Tierney. He's been linked with Callum McGregor. He's Bayata's maybe different because he's on a free at the end of the season. But I'd have to say, I think he'd be a very, very brave man to come back and try and get any of those boys.
But I still think he would. I think he does. See all the stuff that have been said about him? I think he just totally blanks out, Brendan. I think he's one of the guys that's so self...
He takes emotion out
takes
of the decision.
It's a business for him. It's a job.
He's wrapped up in football that much. It's about the football. Yeah. He doesn't care what's going on.
Because there's talk of Morelos as well,
he'd
isn't there? Coming from Morelos.
A brave man coming back to take Boyata. I'll tell you that.
No, having him?
No, no chance.
No, he could play in the Premier.
Nah, not a chance.
I keep it, like... The main man, I'm sure, I don't know, but I would imagine the Celtic supporters, if there's one guy that they wouldn't want to lose, it would be Kieran Tierney in terms of being. So how do you think that'll go in the summer?
I don't think he'll come in for Tierney. Ben Chilwell's a left back.
They're talking about maybe selling him for 40 or 50 million.
To Man City.
And then if you can get Tierney for 20 or whatever it may be.
You know yourself, managers do, if they like somebody, they'll come for them.
I think Kieran Tierney is switched on enough to know that his destiny is bigger than Leicester City. I think Keenan Tierney's better than Leicester City.
But there's a wee one, I think, and if I'm wrong, then please feel free to contact us.
You're wrong.
But I think Kieran Tierney shares the same agency as Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, does
same
he, right? Yes, wow, that's a cat amongst the pigeons, that.
That's a cat right amongst the pigeons. That's put a penny in the works, isn't it?
Do you think you'd go, Mark?
Well, the
don't stop him, Mark. You know the agency.
The first thing is that he can't do anything unless Celtic accept a fee.
Uh-huh. What so would the fee be, 20 million quid?
I'd imagine Celtic wouldn't settle for anything less than 20 million quid for Kieran Tierney. Then the boy has to decide, do I want to go? And again, money, I'd imagine, like, I don't know. Like, for talking's sake, if Kieran Tierney earns 20 grand a week, I'm sure he could go and earn 80 grand a week at Leicester. So you put all that into the mix. Uh-huh. You know? But the one thing I would say about Kieran Tierney, and I don't know the boy, I don't know if you boys know him, but I would imagine if Celtic do win 8 in a row, that I think Kieran Tierney would like to be around to try 10. And do 9, but I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. I might be naive in saying that.
I would like to think
that
he would be around for 9, 10 in a row if that was available or had opportunities to get that, because he is a proper Celtic man. He's made denying that. But
here's one, so is Brendan.
What have you at Stranraer on 50 quid a week, and East 5 came in and gave you 150?
I wouldn't be at Stranraer, mate.
No, go at that level.
No, the level, just wouldn't play for Stranraer.
Why, because you'd end up in the jail?
No, just because just not a team that
is that not your boy team now?
No, I would never affiliate myself with Stranraer FC.
FC. Did you not go to the boy on that now?
No.
Right, we'll move on. two Scottish Cup ties. Dundee United, Inverness quickly. Inverness justified one for them. I think it looks as though they
It was a toss of coin. It was the two teams are even. Obviously, the league would show different.
You obviously never watched
it. I did watch it, you're right. But we've got to get the show on the road, you know what I mean? So, no. It doesn't matter who wins, because they're going out the next round anyway.
And on the next game last night, Si, your tip for the cup.
Oh my god. If that game was on in my back garden, the shut cups.
Do you know what? I watched the first half and I thought, wow, Hearts are so much in control. I didn't bother. And then I put it back on for the draw at 9:15. And then I saw that it was it finished 1. I couldn't, and credit to Thistle for clawing their way back in it, but I couldn't believe that Hearts didn't win that game.
No, I know. All Hearts done, they just Berra got the ball and just kicked up to big Piazza, and then Peter ran off him, but it wasn't a great game. Thistle probably deserved the equaliser the second half, but Hearts will beat them at Tynecastle and then Hearts will beat Inverness and get
so we're looking at then, we'll get into more detail in a couple of weeks time once it's all settled, but just very quickly, we're looking at Celtic v Aberdeen or Rangers, Inverness v Hearts or Partick Thistle. Couple of mouth-watering semi-finals and prospects, aye?
Yeah, I tipped Hearts, didn't I?
You did, absolutely did.
What a draw they've had by you, innit?
Aye.
A really good draw. I think Hearts on their day when Naismith and that's fit and playing their full strength 11, I think they can give anyone a game, so my wee outside bet could come in.
So what's your, quickly Kevin, your semi-final lineup after the two replays?
It'll be Hearts versus
Inverness
and Celtic versus Rangers.
Yep.
Two cracking cup semi-finals. Right, on it, we're going to touch on it. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say, joined by Kevin Kyle and our own Simon Ferry. And also, don't forget to get along to Black Rooster if you're feeling a bit peckish. Some beautiful chicken in
there. Are we getting a discount in there?
You can free food, mate.
I'm assured.
Only at the
Do you not get a loyalty card yet? No, did you not get one? Jeez,
I've been
slaying.
I've been away for 2 weeks. I've been right out the loop.
We slaying must have taken them off.
I did buy biscuits here and everything.
Right, we've got 10 minutes, 15 minutes to go. Bottles, coins, missiles. What do you make of the hooliganism that's going on in the Scottish game just now? And it's not just been refined in the past week or two. This has been going on now for months and months this season. It's not pleasant, is it?
No, it's been talked about everywhere. It's not just up here in Scotland. It's now you're turning on various media outlets and it's everywhere they're talking about what's happening in Scotland. So that's not good for our game. How do you stop it? I don't think you can stop it. You can try these different ideas, but ultimately, if somebody decides to put a pound coin out their pocket and throw it at somebody, how do you stop it? How do you police it? It's just the heat of the moment, and you've got idiot fans who do idiotic things at every level of football, and in Scotland now it's just getting right out of hand. It's been going on for years. I experienced it. I'm sure you've experienced it.
Seriously, on that, have you guys ever been in a situation where you guys have been the target of coins or bottles or any of your teammates during the game?
Dundee threw a lot of money at me when unnecessarily, but that was the board. No, I don't think I ever have.
No, while we played Hibs Hearts at Easter Road, when would that be, 2009-10, whatever it was, and we were 2-0 up and we got a throw in up in the corner, up in the Hibs fans, so Hibs fans on the stand and then the Hearts fans are behind the goal of that corner, and I went to get the ball and oh man, everything was thrown at me.
Yeah.
Pound coins, £2 coins. Don't know, £2 coins I put in my boot, right? Got them after. But a few of them did hit me, and then Rudy Scatchell came over, and obviously Rudy was Mr. Hearts, and Hibs fans totally hate Rudy Scatchell, but and everyone was just
what,
being...
What, Rudy came over to calm it down?
No, just to come over, he was taking the throw in.
Oh, right.
And had to say to the ref, like, ref, they're throwing everything here on the ref. Even the ref was like, and see that area of grass? The amount of coins that were in that one area was ridiculous, and what gets me is that that's a live game. The cameras are zoomed in at us taking the throw-in, but yet nobody ever gets done or gets caught for throwing coins or anything. And it's so obvious, it's there, it's on camera, but nothing happens.
What got me about Saturday night, the Celtic v Hibs game, so the bottle has come on, excuse me, first, over at that corner where Scott Sinclair's taking the corner kick. And yet I see a group of stewards and police people, maybe 20 odds of them, and the bottle gets thrown on, and then a few minutes later there's a coin that gets thrown on, and the police and the stewards are still huddled together rather than maybe going up the side of the stand to actually look and see if they can identify or to put a presence there to stop anybody. But the other thing that gets me, I know police can't wade into stands, but what do we actually pay money for CCTV for if we can't identify these people?
I know, we'll see, if it was in the street you'd be arrested, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And you'd be timed, but CCTV would catch them. I just don't understand why.
You'll notice that most incidents involving coins or bottles went through, it's as if you can kind of anticipate when it's going to happen, because it's a moment in the game that's got a wee bit heated and the player's over on that end, the next thing. So surely we should be focusing on kind of somebody like seeing it before it actually happens. And because it's not just like 5 minutes out of the game somebody decides I'm chucking a bottle at the game. It's during like the near towards the end of the game or a heated moment, a bad tackle, and that player's then went to get the ball for the corner flag or whatever it is. That's when things are happening. So should we be focusing on, right, let's get the cameras focused in and we're trying, and even if you pick it, right, it was him, and punish them, doesn't he stop the next lot of fans doing it? So I think you need to punish the clubs.
You're also as well, you could say with the CCTV and cameras and different things, I don't know how strict clubs are with season tickets and maybe like an all-ticket game, as I'm sure that the Hibs Celtic game would have been the other night, but sure there should be strict liability on supporters not to transfer your season tickets, as I'm sure there are, but I'm sure some fans do. But you could then pinpoint an area, maybe down to, say, 100 seats and go around them, and eventually you'll identify the culprit. But I mean, it's just the old fashioned investigative work, isn't it?
Has anyone ever, see all the stuff that's happened recently, has anybody been brought out and banned or anything done to them?
No, way. Well, you think of the Celtic supporters down at Kilmarnock. Chris Boyd actually was struck with a coin, to the best of my knowledge. Nothing yet from Saturday night, nothing yet. Aberdeen Rangers, ball accounts, there's seats getting thrown back and forwards between both sets of supporters, to the best of my knowledge. Nothing yet. Not unless things are getting done privately.
You've got to physically stand there and smash a seat.
But I think a lot of people in the game have said, if you do catch these people, you know, you've got to humiliate them in public and set out a deterrent. You know, rather if they are catching people and keeping it private.
They need to be publicly humiliated so that they are embarrassed, their family's embarrassed at what they're doing.
Or what, I mean, what does it come to? Are we going to have to breathalyse supporters before? Because I dare say half of them are pissed when they're doing these things.
Is the bucket bottle empty?
I think it might have been.
What
anyway,
what was it on? It was a low or a high one?
I think it was a low.
Was it a low collector's item?
But just very quickly, just to finish on this subject, had footballers, any that you know or any discussions that you've had with any of the boys in the game on it, are they genuinely concerned that they could be seriously injured, or is it one of the ones like, we're not really that bothered, but the media are making a thing out of it?
I don't think they're that bothered.
No, I know, for a fact I'm not bothered. I was never bothered. You never thought, well, I could lose an eye today. It's just, You see it when you're on the park and it starts, you see it happening, so you just try and avoid it. But ultimately, it's the media, it's the FA, the boards have got to, they've got to do something. The players can't do anything about it.
Did you see in America when the American team scored last night and they were celebrating, a fan poured the pint over one of the players' heads?
Yeah,
that's me like it, isn't it? Yeah, that's sort of thing involved.
That's the last thing we need to do, selling baby back in the game. Right, last couple of items on the agenda before we wrap up today. Keeping the ball on the ground, the Open Goal podcast. Mario Balotelli goal celebration when he took a live Instagram video immediately after scoring. I don't know about you guys, I know I'm a wee bit old fashioned, but what's it coming to?
Oh, he's a clown, isn't he? But Balotelli, I do look at that. He's a character, isn't he? They're a dying breed in the game, but it's just like he seems like he concentrates on everything other than that actual football, doesn't he?
But you could do that. You could plug open goal
on Peterhead.
John Peterhead, but you need to score. Every week I'm looking, Peterhead's winning, there's no Si Ferry on live score. What's going on?
Get me Rory McAllister on it.
Hopeless, mate. Hopeless.
You don't play up front, no?
No.
You're midfield on now.
I'll come up to your back garden, you can give us that old back and in training.
Oh, the back of the end, right. You need a big arse.
You've got the big arse.
Oh, huge arse.
you can roll. On what if that was one of your teammates doing that? Seriously?
Slap the phone out his hand.
I don't. Do you like all that, Kevin?
No, I would be embarrassed for him. But it's Balotelli. Nothing surprises you.
And yet, it's a shame because he is a fantastic footballer, isn't he? But he just seems to be known for other things. If you say Si away for the game.
It was him that done Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool, wasn't it? I think he ended Brendan Rodgers' Liverpool career, just couldn't.
I think the board signed him, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
I think it was one of the ones that Brendan had to take a hit for the footballing.
But all the other players, they were all getting in the selfie with him, so they're obviously all for it. Was there? Did you ever play with an actual clown that you thought, what's he doing there?
That's a question that just came to me too quick. Yeah.
Were you usually the clown?
No, I wasn't. I was actually quite normal. Uh-huh. Just got to do some daft things, but my daft things were really, really daft. So they were highlighted more.
But there's one daft thing that you've got to tell us about that wasn't highlighted. It's a brilliant private story about goal celebrations. You scored the winner for Sunderland against Sheffield United, but then a week later, tell us about what happened.
What happened was we were playing Sheffield United away and we were right in the hunt for getting promoted, and 88 minutes, a wee man went down the wing, Arker crossed it, and I'd dive and header and scored. And it was the first time actually the Sunderland fans started singing my name. There was only one, Super Kev. It used to be Super Kev Phillips, but it went to Super Kev Kyle. Long overdue, right enough. But so there was about 5,000 doing it a game, so that was brilliant. Didn't think anything of it. The Tuesday night we played Ipswich, we were 2-2, 88th minute. I scored another winner. Started singing my name again. I thought, geez, oh man, this is brilliant. So the following Saturday, I had my mates down. I were out in Sunderland having a wee drink, and as you do. This Sunderland fan caught me going, you big Kev Kyle? I was like, aye. He says, mate, what about that goal last week, Sheffield United away? Class. Diving header down there. I says, aye. He says, I'm having a party later on at my house. Do you want to come back? I was like, I've got my mates doing Vishnu. Bring them. So I was like, oh, all right. I says, boys, this guy's having a party back at his house after nightclubs. We'll go to his house. So we jumped out of taxis, went to his house. So I'm sitting here in a drink, here in a chat. Now, my mates thought this was great. Oh, big Kevin, all these Sunderland fans. So we're sitting here in a drink. Now, this boy that invited me says, big man, I've just got the boy at the garage, right? He says, when we go out at the street, right, I'll cross in and you dive and he's up in the grass. 4 o'clock in the morning in some street in Peterlee, he's crossing the ball and I'm doing a diving header at 4 in the morning and reenacting the celebration. I know his mates are singing super good. That's the kind of the most memorable celebration I can remember.
Well, let me know, we've got a lot of Sunderland fans out there. If you were that man at the party,
get in touch,
spread the word, the Sunderland supporters. Let's see if we can track down that guy. What year would that have been, Kev?
Oh, that would have been 2004, possibly. 2003, 4.
Right,
see if you
can
track
it back. That was when you were at your peak.
Oh, that was a peak too early.
14, 15 years ago. Brilliant. Right, where are we now? Last bit. Liverpool, Man City. Man City are now top of the table, a point clear. Don't know about you guys, but they're going to take some shifting now.
That's it, done. Man City are winning. My Mrs. Grand had put $2,000 on them when they were 7 points behind.
Aye.
I think he got them at just over 2-1. He's absolutely flying. Liverpool will not come back. I think they've been very ordinary the past month, Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Man City are only winning 1-0, but they're dominating the ball. Where I don't think Liverpool keep the ball as well as Man City. Man City got a better squad, better players for me. I think Man City will stroll at them.
People are saying, Kev, but Liverpool are bottling it. I don't like the word bottling, no, and I don't know how you define. Not. I don't know how you would actually define bottling it for a football club. But
I would ask Si, regardless of the teams he has played for, there have been some games in his career where you felt pressure. Mm-hmm. Like I felt some games where I felt pressure. I remember playing like the FA Cup semi final, and we were really like
for Sunderland.
Aye, we were uptight. We were very nervous because it was like we should have won the game because we were the better team.
Who are you playing?
Millwall, right. And we didn't because we were nervous. And I'm pretty sure, regardless of what level or how much money these Liverpool guys are getting, that performance against Everton showed that they're no bottling it. It's the pressure's really, really.
Is it a 29-year thing? The club not winning the league. Is that what it is?
It's a 29-year thing. It's toppling Man City, who are obviously miles in terms of performance and players and everyone else, are on a different level. It's everything, and it's all coming to one. And each player on that Liverpool team is probably looking at one another, thinking, "Oh, can you help me out today? Can you help me?" Without actually saying it, and I don't care what anybody says. That's just pressure. It's just an unbelievable amount of pressure now that it's just getting to boiling.
I don't think
point.
They've got anyone that's been there and won a league either. No. I think that plays a big part in it. You can see Man City play. They didn't feel pressure, I don't think, because they've been there and done it.
Yeah, and Andy Robertson made an interesting comment, old friend of the show. He said that actually it might just suit Liverpool chasing.
No, I don't get what you're... I don't know, I get that.
It takes a wee bit of the pressure off.
They both have Tottenham to play, which you thought might deter how it goes. But Tottenham hit the shits, you know what I mean? They've lost two and drew one, whatever. So you're not worried about playing Tottenham.
No.
So for me, it might help Liverpool. And I'm saying about the pressure thing. No one of the players will admit to the pressure, but they'll feel it.
Yeah.
Mm. And when you're playing 11 players... If one player has no turned up, you can carry him. Mm-hmm. But see, when five or six, aren't they quite feeling it? It's hard to carry five or six. And I feel that's how Liverpool's performing.
And yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'd love to see, and I'm not a Liverpool supporter, but I'd just love to see Liverpool doing it for everything about the city.
I'd love Liverpool
and you know, I like Klopp, there's Andy Robertson, there's a Scottish boy
in the
team.
There.
There's Kenny Dalglish. Yeah. I'd just love to see them do it, you know.
Yeah. I really don't think they'll win it. Man City will win it comfortably now.
The fact is, like, reading there, they were 10 points, and if they'd have beat Leicester, was it that night they could have been so many points and they drew with Leicester, and you think, like, how's that went from there to there? And it's just like it's like when a dog's chasing in the street, you think that wee thing's no catching me, and he gets closer and closer, you think, oh shit. That's what it's like, honestly.
Well, before you know it's looking at your arse.
It's pressure.
That's a lovely image to end the programme. I don't know if you heard Si there, but just get your ear right close to it. You'll maybe pick up what he said. Brilliant way to end the programme. I don't know about you guys, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. 50 minutes, it's been brilliant. Si Ferry, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Kyle, our special
Cheers.
Guest on the Open Goal podcast.
Oh, man.
Keeping the ball on the ground in association with William Hill. We've had a great time. Hope you enjoyed listening, and I know you'll be back next week. Cheers.